And good morning. It is 9:09 at KBUR, and we have a feature where we like to follow the inner workings of various components of our city and our area. We cover education. We've got Dr. Michael Ash joining me tomorrow. But today we've got Robert Scott. Robert is the school superintendent for the Burlington Community School District. He is joining me. This is his first visit. He has taken over for, of course, Pat Cohen. And Pat was a gregarious sort of guy. And Robert, I believe you said your background, you spent a number of years in the Quad Cities. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. I'm actually born and raised in the Quad Cities in Davenport. My wife and I are both Davenport Central graduates. And so we spent a lot of time through sports. Our kids attended the Bettendorf schools and North Scott schools. So we, you know, the conference that
right.
Burlington was in. So spent a lot of time coming down here for whether I was playing on the fields or my kids were playing on the fields. We spent a lot of time in Burlington.
Okay. And Burlington is, you know, it's sort of a unique situation because it's far enough away from the Quad Cities and far enough away from any other major commercial area that, or I guess we call it a center, retail center. So it sort of has its own, it has its own place, its own situation in terms of where it is. It's got more things to do and more things here than most cities of the same size, which typically are attached to a larger city or a larger, mostly they're suburbs or they're very close to a metro. I'm thinking of a Muscatines and those Clintons and that sort of thing. But as you came down here, what drew you to apply? What drew you to come to here?
Yeah, I have to say that I really was looking for a one high school district. You know, I've been in Davenport, and it was three high schools. And so personally, you know, a goal of mine was to find a one high school because I really wanted to build that, you know, that passion, that excitement, and be part of that. And so I was looking for that. I'm really familiar with the eastern part of the state in Iowa. Spent most of my time, my wife's family, from Dubuque to, you know, to the Davenport area, have lots of friends in Muscatine. So knowing the historical part of the eastern part of the state, just knowing people, was really intriguing to me. And then, of course, when I got down here, you could just really feel it when the interviews. And, of course, it's an extensive interview process. But to go through it, and you could feel the people really had that purple, I call it a purple passion, purple pride about their schools and just wanted to be successful. So I got down here and just kind of fell in love with the job.
Well, we had a lot of challenges, to put it mildly. We've had declining enrollment. We've had, obviously, other school districts have basically tapped in and I'm not going to say stolen the students away, but we've had at our property tax values, we have a lot of very low income people that live in the area. So that's a challenge for the school district, a challenge for the city. And as you came here and as you decided to take this job, what do you see as the biggest challenge you have in front of you?
Yeah, I'd say just in your comments or whatever, it would be just promoting the great things that are happening, because a lot of that gets lost in a couple of 2 to 3 bullet points about the kids that are gone or what's happening in the economy. Because quite honestly, when I get here and I look at how vibrant the district is for what the school building looked like, I've been around a lot of different places, and these schools are gorgeous. And we got a $30 million project at the high school, but the elementaries and the middle schools,
everything's new.
Yeah, and then I look at, if you just thought about, we have 3,300 kids that we're serving. You know, now, not the kids that have left because they've moved out choices.
Well, open enrollment is
choices that kids have throughout the entire state. That's the program, what we have in the state. But those 3,300 puts us as one of the top largest 50 schools in the state.
And the other thing we've noticed is that open enrollment cuts both ways.
Yeah.
We've been able to, and that is, I think, one of Pat's goals when he was here, is to try to find a way to encourage or to have programs, and especially the pandemic, which was the most difficult year for, I think, anybody in education. It had to be for, I'm
absolutely
sure.
Absolutely, and it was unbelievable to say the words, and anybody, and it was ever-changing. You know, we in education, we have playbooks. You know, how do we start the year? What do we do mid-year? What do we do at the end of the year? And COVID, there was no playbook for that. And so you constantly were, you know, changing it. If it was like a sports game, all of a sudden you were playing against 13 defenders on football. Like, well, what happened there? Wait,
well,
11 guys.
Well, trying to become an online learning, trying to go directly to online learning. If you haven't been doing it, it is. Let's put it this way. My wife's a teacher. She's been a teacher for decades, and she said, you know, there's nothing. You can't compare online to any, even close to being in a classroom.
No, quite honestly, when I was teaching, example that would be, you know, not taking a personal day or the lesson plans. It's just easier to be there because you can communicate things that just come to you. When you have to put all of that down on a lesson plan for a sub teacher, it's the same thing about online. You have to put everything down online. Every piece of knowledge and your craft as a teacher to put down, that's hard work to do, and especially when you're doing it for the first time.
Yeah, doing it online, and we did. I don't know how long was Davenport in an online environment.
Yeah, we were in online for almost 10 months.
Okay,
but I say we were, some of that time was 100% online. Some of it was where the kids were coming 50% of the time, and then we had a lot of students who chose online. Probably we probably had about 3,000 of our kids, you know. So, I mean, you know, when you think about it, we had an entire district that was online in Davenport. So it was amazing.
Well, one of the things that has been an outgrowth of that is that you have an online program. Burlington has an online program that is developed right here, and that is attracting interest, allowing students from outside of the district to pick and choose areas, pick and choose classes they couldn't get in their own school.
Yeah.
And that's... does Davenport do something like that?
Davenport has an online component, but not nearly at the level of where we're looking to draw people in. It was one of the huge, when I was coming here, because I am a proponent of the online learning. It's really providing some...
When you're not forced into it.
Yeah, when it's your choice, right? And that's one of the things I tell people. Coming out of the COVID, we really learned a lot about education because some kids thrive in that environment. Some could able to take additional classes because of conflicts in their schedule. And so there's a lot of pluses to the online learning, and so we're excited to keep growing it, and it must be because we continue to have more kids coming in every day.
And we're also seeing in athletics, we're seeing the ability to draw and to expand and to get students to come and join. I think, I'm not sure what I'm thinking, the swimming team, I know, expanded.
Yep.
Tennis team expanded. There's things that you have that you can act as that are actually ways to encourage others to come in, and that helps everyone.
Yeah, our CTE program is another example of that. The course offerings we have for career and technical education, some are upper level AP classes. That's just when you talk about being the largest school in the area, that's one of the things that we can do.
And
we have the resources, we have the teachers, and the ability to draw some of those kids back into our schools and provide it, whether it's they're coming to us part-time or full-time. It's a great opportunity for those families.
I think one of the things that we've heard is that Burlington's not a K through 12 school. It's a birth through 14 is what the conversation is. In other words, daycare itself has expanded, and that came as an outgrowth. A lot of that came as an outgrowth of the pandemic, but some of it came before that. And then I think the ability for those who are at Burlington High School to do the trimester system allowed them to be able to expand and to take some other additional classes, but also to take classes at SCC and to effectively a fair number getting a degree. At the same time, they're getting a two-year degree. At the same time, they're getting their high school degree.
Yeah, we're just trying to encourage every kid to at least get exposed to one or two college classes, so they understand that next step isn't like a four-grade step. You know, it's just the 13th grade. It's just one more. It's very, because some people are intimidated by that college look, and so we're excited about that. We do have kids that get up to 60 credits. We have kids that get up to 20 credits, but you know, my goal would be to make sure that every kid at least has one class so they can see what that college life is like.
Robert Scott, superintendent of the Davenport, formerly in Davenport, now the Burlington School superintendent.
Greyhound,
he is joining me. We're going to be back with more with Robert Scott right after this.
Friday night is football night on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. This Friday, join Scott Mason and John Flaherty as Burlington travels to North Scott. Brought to you by Pizza Ranch, John Hart, your Edward Jones agent, Bickles Cycling and Fitness, Courtesy Door, Ritter's Garden Center, the Broadway Bar and Grill, Standard of Beaverdale, and the Pilot Grove Savings Bank. BHS Football, 7 p.m. Friday night on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR and KBUR.com.
DayQuil Kids Honey.
Isn't DayQuil just for parents?
Actually, Vicks DayQuil Kids Honey is just for kids. Specially designed to treat kids' most bothersome cold symptoms quickly. With a honeylicious tasting flavor kids like.
You know what else kids like?
DayQuil Kids Honey first, then video games.
Deal.
Vicks DayQuil Kids Honey. The kids' honeylicious daytime coughing, congestion, stuffy head, stuffy nose medicine. Safe for ages 6+.
Streaming now.
Flip it up.
Minion Mayhem has come to Peacock.
This is the biggest day of my life.
So grab the popcorn.
Minions, assemble!
For the most diabolical movie ever.
I am going to be a super villain. All right, I'm not Minnie. Please stop calling me that.
Minions, The Rise of Gru. Streaming now, only on Peacock.
Catfish Bend is creeping it real this October. Don't miss the ghoulishly good trick-or-treat cash promotion. 25 winners drawn every Friday in October across 5 drawings, 5 to 9 p.m. Win between $100 and $1,200 cash. And a second chance to win at the rollover drawing on October 30th. Earn one entry for every 50 points earned daily. 13 times entries on Mondays and Tuesdays. See player services for details. Come out and play and live lucky at Catfish Bend Casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins.
Do you like Gatorade? Do you like Gatorade? Myth. Gatorade's the best thing to rehydrate. Fact. If you need electrolytes, pickle juice. And so I took a shot of it, and I don't know if it actually works or whatever, but a little bit of pickle juice is actually a lot better than some of the more popular sports drinks.
The show is so educational. It should be on PBS.
Do our best.
It's Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weeknights from 5 till 8 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
.921 at KBUR. Robert Scott is the superintendent of the Burlington Community School District. We're talking about the challenges that he is facing and the things and goals that he has set for himself, things that he would like to see, I guess, accomplished while he is in this role as superintendent. And a lot of things, Robert, I guess what, if you had something that you've learned to do very well that you'd like to be able to translate into Burlington, can you think of something that you would really like to sink your teeth into?
Yeah, I say promoting that involvement, student voice has been a big thing. We have, at all of our schools right now, we've got the principals working and gathering like a student leadership teams. Some of them had those, but we're really formalizing that so that they had monthly meetings with the kids, and that means even at the elementary level, with third and fourth grade levels to all the way to the high school. But then formalizing those meetings to get the student voice about concerns, ideas they have, that was very helpful for me in my time as both as a principal at Central High School and then also as an associate superintendent. But that allowed us to hear things. Sometimes you'd hear innocent little things like, well, you know, we don't have hot water, you know, in this area, or, you know, the lights in the parking lot turn out too early, or how come we don't have this club? And so, you know, it would allow us to then get a direct voice right to, you know, the district leadership to say, hey, well, how can we make those resources? How do we make that available? How do we fix that problem in a quick fashion? Because so it's been really effective for us. So student voice would be a big thing for me.
Extracurricular activities, particularly athletics, have become much stronger here in Burlington over the last few years. And a lot of that was utilizing the Everybody's a Greyhound. And that was one idea that came out of Pat. He wanted to have, he said, look, all we need to have everybody on the same page, and we need to make sure that people realize there's opportunities in there. And I don't know how, I know that the pandemic pretty much, during the pandemic, I can remember he came up with he called it the Ghostbuster routine for how they treated the locker rooms during. He would have a team go in basically in hazmat suits, spraying down everything. And then every time before every practice, after every practice, before every game, We all realized, you know, and then we had all this plexiglass things. We realized the plexiglass didn't do anything. Washing the doorknobs didn't do anything. And cleaning off everything. It's an airborne situation. But it was, well, I guess what? You erred on the side of caution, I guess, in
that
time.
It's just the unknown. I mean, we remember FedEx boxes. We didn't grab a FedEx box. It was outside of our house for an hour when they dropped it off, right? I mean, so it was just... It was a little bit careful. You know, people were being very careful during that time.
But anyway, athletics top to bottom have improved dramatically. Some of that was switching classes or changing conferences. We're no longer in the we were in the MAC. Mm-hmm. We were in the MAC conference.
Yep.
All those years, and a lot of it became a very difficult. If you had to play Bettendorf, you knew you had your hands full.
Yep.
And we were just sort of like, you know, treading water, not literally in the swimming pool, but in terms of trying to get advanced and also to bring people out because we didn't have numbers.
I think that really comes down to it when you talk about it and think about it is the transportation of not just the student athlete, it's the transportation of the parents and the student, you know, your friends. You want your friends to come see you play in a game, right? And for them to drive all the way to Clinton
yeah.
and all the way to the Quad Cities and parents being comfortable with kids being on the road that late at night, you know, it definitely makes sense. And so when they were doing that, I was in the Quad City area. It made total sense to me. Now, personally, as an athlete, when I was playing back in the day, I loved my trip to Burlington.
And then the district plan came around, and all of a sudden the conferences changed. And now where do we – okay, what do we have? We had Clinton last week, North
yep.
Scott this week,
yep.
Iowa City. We got Iowa City
coming down here,
and we go back up and we had Ottumwa. We had Ottumwa, so driving over to Ottumwa. We haven't saved ourselves a lot of driving, but we have saved ourselves. We are playing teams that are within our own,
I think
competitive
enrollment,
level.
We've seen some really big fluctuations statewide in the enrollment, and trying to put UC, a major conference that was in the Des Moines area, split into two
yeah.
just because the enrollment of those schools around the Des Moines area, the Waukees and the Ankenys of the world. But, you know, around here, I would say, if besides football, really you've seen a lower travel time
yeah.
because really where our
yeah.
conferences and every other, it's just football really got in. It's its own animal. No different than the NFL is its own thing or whatever. Football is kind of a different thing as far as a scheduling and trying to make those teams the same
but
size.
But the other team sports have all benefited dramatically
yeah.
by that. As we look at some of the challenges, the biggest, if you had a goal for enrollment, a goal to get everybody to, because I know there's a lot of, we've got a lot of kids that have gone to, gone out of the school or gone, some are in the alternative school. I know you have a program, an alternative school program as well. How strong is that program as you see it?
Yeah, I think that we've got some great things going on with our students there. And again, all the students, whether they're at Vibe or at the alternative setting, they're still part of our high school program, whatever. And,
right.
and again, we have K-12 with the online learning program, but really it's still part of the high school. They're still working through our high school counselors. Both principals are working directly together. And really, it's just providing the opportunity so that the kids don't feel frustrated and drop out, you know, because there are life choices, there are life barriers that are there for kids, and we need to work around those to make it, you know, an opportunity so they feel like they're still, as long as you're gaining some credits and moving
yeah.
along, you see the light at the end of the tunnel.
One of the things also has changed is the schedule for the individual schools to allow it to fit in with the busing schedule and to minimize having to have buses running empty. How do you view our transportation system in Burlington right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I feel very fortunate that we have our own busing department, whatever. I've been in many school districts who have busing that's outside, and then I've been in a district when I was in Illinois that had their own busing department. And when you can work with your own personnel and your own people, kids just feel better. They feel more connected to those people, and you know, because they're part of the community too. So our busing department is very successful. We're doing a good job of routing those kids around, and I can just tell you from my experiences other places, it's the quickness and the turnaround time to get a kid on a route and to get a kid on a bus and to be accessible. It's pretty nice here.
And if you had, okay, we're going to say goodbye to you, but if your own number one goal that you would like to see done this year, what would that be?
My number one goal, I quite honestly, we are just working really hard about the academic part, and so trying to make sure we're formalizing, and it's a kind of educational talk or whatever, but formalizing our interventions and things that are happening for our students to help grow them. You know, I want to see every kid grow more than a year, you know, in their academic
yeah.
level. And so I know that's really educational lingo, but I really, that's a goal of mine. And so how we're doing that, meeting with principals, meeting with instructional coaches, and that's really important to me.
Getting everybody on the same team.
Yep, and trying to, and there's great things happening. I mean, because I can tell you I've already met with so many people, but it's about formalizing that and then just continue to take those pockets of success and share those with another elementary or share those with the middle school. And again, I couldn't be more happy about where I'm at, and I'm excited for a long run here.
Robert Scott, pleasure to meet you, and we'll look forward to having you on again, and you will be on again because I know that we'll schedule you.
Sounds good. I look forward to it.
All right. Thank you. Robert Scott, Superintendent, Burlington Community School District. We'll be back after this.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Ready. The Burlington Noon Lions Club will host the annual Oktoberfest celebration Saturday at Community Field in Burlington. The public is invited to come enjoy live German music, homemade German food, and a fine selection of Oktoberfest beers. Doors open at 4 p.m. and the event lasts until 10 p.m. The cover charge for the event is $8 in advance and $10 at the door, with food and drink available for purchase at the event. Proceeds benefit other projects of the Noon Lions.